Just reading this morning, it's taken from the 78th chapter, and in Psalms, I'll be reading verse 4. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful work that He has done.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We have many visitors with us today, sprinkled among us, and we are so thankful to have each and every one of you. We're so happy that you have had safe travels. We're so glad that you're with us, and we want you to know that you are welcome back at any and every opportunity that you have. So many thank yous to go out. We're always thankful for those that help us serve. We're thankful for Jeff for leading those songs, Brother Roy leading the prayer. Mickey, for our scripture reading, so thankful for that. Also, on my mind, as we're switching from the third quarter to the fourth quarter, we're so thankful for all our teachers, all the teachers that volunteer their time teaching our young people for the third quarter. So thankful for these new teachers we have coming in for the fourth. Certainly, we haven't been perfect with our new system, but I think that Jenny's done a great job with the collection of a lot of people helping out, a lot of volunteers. Helping. It's one of those things that a congregation does that cannot be accomplished with just a few. I'm so thankful for our card group, doing so many cards behind the scenes that are sent out. So thankful for those. And as you look out the fellowship room, you see all those clothes and all the hard work that has went into that. And certainly more work to come as we prepare for that good thing. So we are so thankful for so many things that are going on. And we certainly want to please God and as we serve one another and those that are around us. We're going to be looking at Psalm 78. It's going to be kind of the basis of the lesson. We're going to be kind of hopping in and out. But if we go to the Old Testament, certainly these Psalms would have been sung. And whatever things are written before are written for our learning. We see that in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, it's talking about the Israelites, and it says there all these things happened to them as examples and were written for your instruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It's talking about the children of Israel. And from the children of Israel, we learn so many powerful examples. We see them complaining. We see them sinning. We see their lack of faith sometimes. And then we see the positive of when they do follow God and when they do have faith and when they do those things which they should do. But as we turn to the Old Testament, so many powerful lessons that we can learn. And as we look at Psalm 78, really what it is concentrated on is God's kindness to a rebellious nation. God's kindness to a rebellious nation. It's actually the children of Israel. God's people. God's chosen people. And really how they're handling their relationship with God. And we want to look at that as we consider that this morning. You know, there are some things in this life that are certainly worth fighting for. And many times we forget to fight for those things that are most important. Perhaps our spiritual things of life. Fighting for our family. Those are certainly important things. But there's a saying that sometimes said, it says, as the home goes, so does the nation. And I really want to consider this morning, as we consider the Old Testament, and see what's happening with the nation of Israel. How they're rebellious, how they're not listening to God, how they're forgetting about God's Word. How closely the nation is connected to the family. As the home goes, so does the nation. You know, if we look out at our society but for a moment, if we look out at our culture but for a moment, I think we can all acknowledge that there's been a shift around us. A shift that's happened over the course of time and seems to be continuing around us. But the question is, or the consideration is if we're concerned for our nation, are we considering our family? Because if the nation is in trouble, perhaps we need to look a layer below that. Because if we think of that idea, as the home goes, so does the nation. If we're worried about our nation, if we're worried about some of the things and the trends that we're seeing in our nation, perhaps we need to look to our own home. We need to look to our family and see how those things are going. We're going to try to learn a little bit from the past. We're looking at Psalm 78, and we're going to see God's kindness to the nation of Israel, even though they're rebellious. And really what we're going to find, I think, in this psalm is we're going to see a problem laid out with the nation of Israel. And also we're going to see some solutions laid out for the nation of Israel. And I think that these would certainly apply to our family. The first thing, our families. As we look at Psalm 78, I'm going to start a little bit farther into the psalm around verse 8. Because what it's talking about is we're really seeing the problem of the nation of Israel. Starting in verse 8 and going through verse 11, it says, "And may not be like their father, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forget His work and His wonders that He had shown them." We see a picture of the children of Israel. It says they're being stubborn. It says they're being rebellious. And as we look and we consider, there's some other things that are referenced there. It talks about them forgetting the works of God, not keeping the commandments of God, not being faithful to God. You know, as we look and we consider our nation, if there's problems with our nation, perhaps we need to go a little bit deeper and look, are there problems in our family? What were some of the problems with the nation of Israel? We see that it looks like they have forgotten some things about God. They've forgotten the works of God. They're not keeping the covenants of God. They're not looking to the commandments of God. They're being stubborn and rebellious. You know, we can consider that on a national level, but can we consider that on a family level? Are we fighting for our families that we are spiritually focused and spiritually minded? As we consider the nation of Israel, and we go all the way back, before they were a nation, they were a people, and they got their law, we look at the group of people, and we do see some of those rebellious traits. We see some of the lack of knowledge that they had. We see some of their lack of faith. We can go all the way back to Exodus chapter 32, where Moses is receiving the law from God. And while Moses is up receiving the law and bringing it down on the tablets, what are the children of Israel doing? They're making a golden calf. We see sin. We see a lack of faith. We see almost this idea of forgetting God. I mean, Moses, he does go for a period of time, but it's not like we have Moses disappearing for years and years and years. In perspective, it's not that long a time, and yet God has forgotten. They are unfaithful to God, and we kind of see that sin creeping in. Makes me think of Psalm 78 as we're looking at Psalm 78, verse 37. It says, "For their heart was not steadfast with Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant." You know that idea, their heart was not steadfast. Are you consistent when it comes to your family? Are you consistent when it comes to your walk with God? Because this is a problem with the nation of Israel. Is they'll have spurts where they're going well, and then they'll have spurts where they're unfaithful. They turn back. They forget about God. They start engaging in sin again. Are you consistent when it comes to your life? We see the children of Israel, they leave Mount Sinai after creating that golden calf and really being rebuked for it, and they travel on to the promised land. And they get to the edge of the promised land in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, and they send spies into the promised land. They're going to take the land. And of those spies, we have Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb, they come back and they say, "We can take the land. We can do this." And all the other spies give an unfavorable report. And the children of Israel actually start discussing among themselves in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 there. They start discussing among themselves, and they start to say, "I don't know if we can take the land. You know what we really need to do? We need to get a leader, and we need to go back to Egypt and be slaves again," basically, is what they're saying. "Let's just go back to Egypt and be slaves." We see their lack of faith. If there is a lack of faith in our nation, if there is sin all across our nation, if there is a forgetting of God across our nation, have we looked at our families recently? Because families make up the nation. When we look at our families, do we look to try to address sin? When we look at our families, do we try to address unfaithfulness? When we look at our families, do we try to address forgetting God? We have a nation that has some problems. They have sin, they have unfaithfulness, and they certainly have some of these problems that need to be addressed. Forgetting God. Because of the Israelites' lack of faith, God lays down a punishment and says, you're going to go and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Everyone over 20 is going to die. Really, why? Because of their lack of faith. When we think of our nation and we think of a lack of faith, why do individuals have a lack of faith? Well, I think we have to think about how faith is obtained. We think of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why do we lack faith? Why can we not distinguish between right and wrong? Why are we forgetting God? And I think that Moses, and really as we read the Old Testament, Moses tries to give us a solution. If we want to solve the problems in our nation, we're going to have to go a level below. The solutions are not going to come from the government. The solutions are not going to come from up on high. They're going to have to start right where we are at. It's going to have to start with me. And from me, hopefully I can influence my family. And from my family, hopefully I can influence the community. And from my community, hopefully I can influence my state. And then hopefully from the state, we can influence the nation. But it doesn't work the other way around. If we're looking at the nation and says the nation has problems, maybe we need to look a few more levels down and say, what can I do? And when you realize the level that you can deal with, it's you. Can I address my own sin problem? Can I address my own unfaithfulness problem? Can I address my own forgetfulness problem of God's Word? Because people are looking to it. You know, we think of the problems that the nation of Israel has, being rebellious, not following the commandments of God, forgetting God. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. How will we respond? And a lot of times you'll hear that. How are we going to respond as a nation? And what I'm trying to tell you is if we're going to respond, your response is limited to yourself. Yes, our nation's going to respond in certain ways, but you realize that you have very little control over so many of the factors out here. But you can control you. You can control right where you're at, right where you stand, and you can say, I am going to be convicted, and I am going to try to address my sin problem. I'm going to try to address my unfaithfulness. I'm going to try to address my lack of knowledge of the Scriptures. Because we see that these are the problems of the nation of Israel. They had a sin problem, they had an unfaithfulness problem, they had a problem with forgetting God's Word. We've got to address it on our level. Are we willing to address it? You know, there is a pattern of falling away from God. A lot of times sin is involved. A lot of times unfaithfulness is involved. Unthankfulness is involved. A lot of times lack of knowledge is involved. If you want to fight for your family, fight for your faith. Work on your faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what? In Psalm 78, it's going to talk about everything that's going wrong with Israel. They're rebellious. They're not following the commands. They're forgetting about God. It's going to hit on all the Psalms, but you know what? It's going to give us the solution. We're going to see the solution in these pages. But if there's a nation problem, perhaps there's a family problem as well. In the early years of Israel, we see sin, we see unfaithfulness, we see some of these things. And you know what? Moses tries to stand up and he tries to address that. We have the golden calf that happens. We have the wilderness. And right before they go into the promised land, he tries to talk to the children of Israel and he tries to give them the solution to the problem. But before we get there, I'd like to focus a little bit more on the problem, because the children of Israel are actually not going to follow Moses' advice. We have all these problems before Israel goes into the promised land, and Moses, before they go in, he says, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. I'm going to give you the solution. And you know what? They're going to go into the land of promise, and they're not going to follow what Moses said, inspired by God. What do the children of Israel do when they get into the promised land? I just want to go and look at a few snapshots. Judges chapter 2, we get a snapshot of the children of Israel and some of those things that are happening as the children of Israel are in the promised land. Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. It says, and when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done in Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after, who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. This is what it said in Psalm 78. It said Israel was rebellious. It said they were not staying true to the covenant. They weren't listening to God. And almost this idea that they forgot what God said. And we see that Israel had these problems. Moses tells them how to solve it. They go in the promised land and we see what happens. It says another generation arose after them that did not know God nor the work which he had done for Israel. You know the works of God? You know the story of the Bible? The great things that we read in His Word, things that can help build our faith and help us see the difference between right and wrong, see these things that are around us. The problem with the children of Israel were written to be examples for us. I think of Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, once again, talking to the children of Israel. Of course, we're split at this point. We're farther down the road. We're seeing a pattern here. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed." If you go down in Hosea chapter 4, down to verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me." When we look at problems of nations, really we're looking at the problem of God's people. You see a sin problem, you see an unfaithful problem, and you see a forgetting God's word problem. And if those are the problems that we see with a nation, if those are the problems that we see with Israel, it's like, oh, Israel's got a sin problem. Israel's got an unfaithfulness problem. You know what? Israel has a problem about forgetting God's word. Perhaps these are the same problems we need to face in our own family. That we need to face on ourselves. That we need to look at ourselves and say, you know what? If a nation can be brought down because of sin, if a nation can be brought down because of unfaithfulness, if a nation can be brought down because they forget God's word, perhaps these are the same things that could destroy my own family. Perhaps these are the same problems that I need to address as an individual, because really that's what we have control over. Can I address my sin problem? Can I address my unfaithfulness problem? Can I address my lack of knowledge when it comes to God's Word? You know what? It might not be flashy, but I think that's how we fight for our family. We fight for our family by fighting our sin problem. We fight for our family by addressing our own issues with unfaithfulness. We fight our fight for our family, for ourselves, by addressing our lack of knowledge that we know helps build our faith. You know, Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, it's very revealing, talking about the people of God. These are the people of God. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "I have written for him the great things of my law, but they are considered strange things." Are the things of God, or are the things of this book strange to our nation? Yes, they are. But as the home goes, so does the nation. The question for ourselves is, are the things of God, or the things of the Bible, a strange thing to me as an individual? Are they a strange thing to my family? Because if these things will bring down a nation, certainly they'll bring down a family, and we need to keep an eye on those. There's a lot of people that say, oh, I'm spiritual and I want to follow God, but they are not looking into the words of God and trying to make them and absorb them to a point that it changes their life. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How is our mind going to change? How is it going to be renewed? The words of God. A lot of people like to talk a good game when it comes to religion, but a lot are not committed to these things. What things? To eradicate sin out of my life. To try to be as faithful as I can be. To try to increase my knowledge. Are you committed to those things? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." Now I think that makes sense. This is how we know God, is if we keep His commandments. And then it goes on, in verse 4, it says, when it's talking about this, it says, "By this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." The Bible is not about hypocrisy. The Bible is not about individuals saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not trying to deal with my sin problem. I'm not trying to deal with my faithless problem. I'm not trying to deal with my lack of knowledge in relation to Scriptures. We're not perfect. But some people, as we look and we observe, and this is a question for ourselves, am I giving it my best effort? A lot of people are going to run around and say, I know God. But the Bible tells us that individuals that know God, if you keep my commandments, we're not going to be perfect. But are we making that a concerted effort to fight for our family, to work on our sin problem, to work on our faith problem, to work on our knowledge problem as we try to serve God to the best of our ability? It's amazing what our world prioritizes and what the world does not prioritize. The world prioritizes physical education. There's nothing wrong with physical education, but there is a problem with physical education and physical things when they get in the way of our spiritual education. Because you know what? Spiritual education will save your family for an eternity. Spiritual education will save your family for eternity. It's nothing about me. It's the power of the gospel and Jesus Christ and giving his life for us that we have this opportunity to become one of his, to be added to the church and do the best we can in service to him. If there's a problem in our nation, is there a problem in our family? You know, I looked up some stats. Some stats that kind of, I mean, they make you do a double take. One of the stats I found, it said by the age of 19, 75%. By the age of 19, 75% of individuals have had a sexual experience. 75% by the age of 19. Are we fighting for our family? Are we fighting for our family? Are we fighting hard? Alcohol, by the age of 18, 60% of individuals have consumed alcohol. Are we fighting for our family? There is danger out there. There's no doubt there's danger out there. But we have to ask ourselves, am I fighting for my family? I think the Bible is going to address, we see the problem of sin, the problem of unfaithfulness, the problem of lack of knowledge. But you know what? It's going to be addressed in Psalm 78, it's really addressed throughout the Bible. What does Moses say in Deuteronomy? When he sees these problems with the children of Israel, he sees the sin problem, he sees the unfaithfulness problem, he sees the lack of knowledge problem. How does he try to address it? Well, right before they go into the promised land, he speaks to them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6-9. He says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. When you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the portlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You know, Moses' solution to a lot of these problems, the sin problem, the unfaithfulness problem, the lack of knowledge problem, you know what the solution is? Teach. And you just can't teach anything. You've got to teach the words of God. There's a lot of things that need to be taught. There's a lot of things that the next generation needs to hear. Isn't that what it says in Psalm 78, verse 4, that was read for us by Brother Mickey? It says, we will not hide them from their children. Tell them to the generation to come the praise of the Lord. Are you hiding anything from your kids? Well, when we don't make a concerted effort to teach the Scriptures, to teach the Bible to our children, in some sense we are hiding something from them. We're hiding the most valuable thing that they could have, the words of God. We can't hide these from our children. We got to make sure that they know them, that they become part of their heart. Most of you know that I was a teacher. Still am a teacher in many senses, but I taught 5th grade and 8th grade science. And I certainly enjoyed that. One of my mentors, I consider him one of my mentors, was a principal from New York. And this guy had boots, and even though he was in New York, he was quite the character. You know, he said some things about teaching. You know, you have those mentors, and they just have sayings. Here's a couple of his sayings that have just stuck with me over the years. And he was quite the character. He says, if you want a behavior, you teach it. If you want a behavior, you teach it. But a lot of us, are we dancing around what the Bible says, and we're not teaching what we want our families to have, what we want us to have? Are we teaching it? Are we teaching the good qualities which the Bible wants us to have? Another one that he has that stuck with me over the years, he says, you get what you tolerate in the classroom. You get what you tolerate in the classroom. You know what that means? It means you've got to have some standards. And when those standards are violated, it needs to be addressed. You get what you tolerate. That's an interesting one. That one has stuck with me over the years. You know the solution that the Bible gives to sin, to the lack of faith, to the lack of knowledge, is to keep the Word. And Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Have we taken the principles, the teachings of God, and have we slid them off to the side and say, this is a good second thing to do in my life. This is a good third thing to do in my life. This is a good fourth thing to do in your life. Let me tell you, if you're fighting for your family, it's got to be moved to number one. The teaching of God's word, hiding in our heart, teaching it to the next generation, has to be a number one priority. Sin, unfaithfulness, forgetting God's word has to be addressed. It has to be addressed by teaching the next generation. That's what you see in Psalm 78 and verse 4. And as you continue on, if you read Psalm 78 verses 12 through 16, it talks about, of course, this is talking to the nation of Israel, the things that need to be discussed. You know what needs to be discussed? Is that you got out of slavery. You know, we have a parallel to that as New Testament Christians. When we speak to our children, are we telling them that we have been forgiven of our sins and we have been given an opportunity of a new start in life to serve the Lord? We've been released of our own slavery, the slavery of sin. Do we talk about the works of God? Do we talk about the wonders of God? There's certainly so many things that we could talk about. But God has a solution to these things. We think about sin. God teaches us so that we can distinguish between right and wrong. In Psalm 119, verse 104, it says, "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now the world and philosophy says, oh, we can't distinguish between right and wrong. You know how we can distinguish right and wrong? If there's a God, and if that God records a book for us, you know what? Through his precepts I can get understanding and I can hate every false way. Because I can know the false way. And I can know the good ways as well. Because the Bible will lay those out and teach us. When it comes to our faith, the Bible gives a solution. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When it comes to forgetting God's Word, he tells us not to forget it and teach it. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, it says, "Your Word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." What should we be teaching the next generation? We should be teaching them about God's Word. Teach them about God's creation. Take your kids, honey. I think that's a fantastic idea. Get out in nature. Go on some hikes. Take them some places. Let them see the creation of God. We think of Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. "Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Get your family, your children, your grandchildren. Get them out in nature. Let them see the works of God, the beautiful things that he has done. Teach your children that he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised from his creation, the forgiveness of sins, the grace that he provides. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy for us to come here on the first day of the week and worship him and raise our voices again. Not the way of our choosing, but the way which he asks. We think of Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus speaking there in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. He said, well, he says, "Hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, No need
to mess up the scriptures here.
He says there in Matthew, "Hypocrite, Isaiah did well prophesying about you, saying, these people..."
I just need the next word and I'm good.
Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. No need to mess it up. "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." We do not have a choice of how we're going to worship Almighty God. And we need to teach our children that we don't have a choice in this matter. When it comes to worshiping God, we can't say what men say. That's what he says. "In vain you worship me, teaching the doctrine, the commandments of men." He says, you're trying to worship me the way men say it should be worshipped. They're saying good things, but they're not worshiping God correctly. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. God is worthy of praise. His work should be acknowledged. We need to remind the next generation of God's Word. Parents, grandparents, do you talk to your kids and your grandkids about God's Word? Because I can tell you, it's not happening in the schools. It's not happening in our society. It's not happening in our culture. It's got to come from you. It's got to come from me. In Psalm 119 and verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." You know, the devil wants your kids. The devil wants your grandkids. The devil wants you to be as far away from this book as you possibly can be. And you know what? The devil's got quite successful. Television, sports, all kinds of activities. Our schedule's so filled, I wonder how much time we spend with our kids sometimes. And I'm not trying to be mean, it's something I'm thinking about with my kids. How many activities do I want my kids involved in? Because we realize the more activities that my kids are involved in, the farther they're away from me. And that might sound bad, but you know what? I want my kids to be around good Christian examples. That's why the Assembly of the Saints is so important. I want to imitate Christ and be the best example I can be. I want to be the best dad I can be. I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to be all of that. But you know what? I want my kids to have other examples as well. And you know where I can find those examples? With the Assembly of the Saints. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 there, where it's talking about the Assembly of the Saints, it says, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Do you consider others? That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 there. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know what? I need you. That's selfish, isn't it? It is a little bit selfish. I need you. I need you for my kids. I do. I need my kids to see older Christian women. I need my kids to see older Christian men. I need my kids to see young Christian women. I need my kids to see young Christian men. I need them to see healthy marriages. I need them to see the positivity, the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, all of those things. I need you desperately because I'm fighting for my family. And I can't do it without you. I need you so desperately you don't even know. What a sad thing it would be if we did not have the Assembly of the Saints. That my kids could not see other people striving to live for Christ. All they got to see was me. I am so thankful for you that words can't even express it. Each and every one fighting the fight for their family, trying to get sin out of their life, trying to be as faithful as we can, trying to increase our knowledge day by day, because the devil is after our family. He's after us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When's the last time you went to war with the lion for your family? Because he's coming after your family. It says he's like a lion. When's the last time you went to war with the lion for your family? To defend and hold him off. And you know what? One of the best ways to hold the devil off? God's Word. You know, it's easy to talk about the problems in our nation. It's easy to talk about those things. But we really have to boil it down to what can I do? You need to fight for your family. And you know how you fight for your family? You be the best example that you can be. You be the best example you can be as you try to fight sin in your life. You be the best example you can be when you try to be faithful. You be the best example as you try to increase your knowledge. And you know what? Your children are watching you. Your example is one of the best ways you can fight for your family. And you know, the interesting thing is many times we do not exceed expectations. A lot of times we look at our parents and we kind of have a dialogue like this. Well, you know, I'm about the same level as my parents. You know, we get in that trouble when we start comparing like that. You know who we should be comparing ourselves to? Jesus Christ. When I look at Jesus Christ, he's my example. I'll never exceed that. But I'll do the best I can to meet that example. To imitate Christ as best I can. And that is an example worth following as we think about our lives. But as a young father, and I've got the three little ones over there that like to challenge me and make all kinds of noises, how much they follow my example. You know, I look back on my life, I think I have a good work ethic. But I think it really comes from my dad. I didn't see my dad too many mornings. He was already gone. I'm not saying he wasn't a good dad. He was a very hardworking, he is a hardworking man. He set a powerful example. So many of the things in my life, I can see my dad and how powerful his example was on me. Do you understand how powerful your example is? how do you handle your spiritual life? Because your kids are watching. They're watching how you handle Bible studies. They're watching how you handle the events that we have at the church. They're watching. How's your example? Is your example worth following? If we're following, if you're trying to follow Christ, trying to get sin as far away as you can, be as faithful as you can, increase your knowledge. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to praise the church. We'd love to help you in any way that you can. We know that we have a fight on our hands, and certainly we need God, we need His Word, and we need each other if we're going to make it through. If you are subject to ordination in any way, we ask you to please come as we stand as we sing.